Amen. So actually that prophecy is going to go right into the teaching tonight. So thank you, Father. Thank you for walking in faith. He doesn't say to prophesy when you feel like it. He says covet to do it. And so thank you for doing that. So you might grab a Bible and put like a bookmark, like two different places where we're going to be looking, flipping back and forth. Tonight's teaching is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to do some reading and then try to do a slideshow. But it's going to be James 4 and Hebrews 12. Yep. And hopefully the technology doesn't start sleeping on me. So bear with me. I'm going to try to read something. I was going to try to actually teach, but I'm afraid that I'm going to miss something if I don't read this. And so the context is James chapter 4, verse 7. And then I'll go through some of the Hebrew, or excuse me, the Greek words, what exactly these words are. James 4, it says, I'll read. So finger in Hebrews 12 and James 4, those two spots. Range yourself. King James is going to say in James 4, 7, and you don't have to be reading the Bible yet, but it says range yourself, or it could be submit yourself under Yahweh, but withstand, and a word for withstand could be rebel. Rebel against the adversary, and he will flee from you. We're going to look at those Greek words. And the Greek word for flee is really, really interesting. I've heard that my whole life, he'll flee from you. But have you ever seen somebody fleeing like a scaredy cat, like a sissy, that you laugh at them? Ah! You ever say something like that? Cops show up. Ah! Ruth yells, Dad! And yeah, you're in big trouble. And this Greek word that Yahweh says, the adversary will flee from you. Not just, I'll be back later. And so we'll look at some of these definitions that this thing could be. So James 4, 7 is, submit yourself to Yahweh, and these are my words, because range doesn't necessarily, and withstand or rebel against the adversary, and he will flee from you. And so, like, one of the contexts of it was, don't leave Eden. Don't leave Eden, which is Yahweh's presence, for the friendship of the world. Adam and Eve were in where?
Eden.
And they're untouchable. Until they left. And had Eve just resisted, what would have happened? And I'm going to read this also, something I didn't know before this, is it says Eve was completely deceived. Eve had perfect intellect. If you think that she was a simpleton, you're wrong. And I used to think she was a simpleton. She was created in the image of Yahweh. She would have been like Solomon. Candace traveled all those miles to figure all these problems out. How do I fix out taxation with representation? How do we get a constitution to do something like that? Like a John Locke, but even smarter. And our adversary, how smart is your enemy? Smart enough to completely deceive Eve. So don't underestimate him. So don't leave Eden, no matter what's being presented. Because there's going to be something. And what did the fruit of knowledge of good and evil have? Pleasure. It was pleasure. So how did the adversary going to get you away? Pleasure. Then there's a story I saw on the BBC once. It was African hunting dogs. And here's a whole herd of wildebeest. And the African hunting dogs get up close, and the wildebeest are looking, and they're looking, and they're spooked a little bit. And the commentator said that the hunting dog can't do anything to the wildebeest. It's too big. But it's smarter than the wildebeest. Is Satan smarter than you?
Yeah.
You don't have to be smarter than the hunting dog. And they said the hunting dog is smarter, and it knows all it's got to do is to get it to run. And then once it starts running, keep it going. It's easy once they start running. For an hour. Now it's so exhausted, now we get to eat them. And he said, if they would just stand their ground, there's no chance. There's no fight. And how do you do that? How do you get a stampede? It takes one or two. And who are you hanging out with?
Good point, yeah.
Who are you hanging out with? If you're not hanging out with people that are going to turn and fight, and you turn and fight Satan, you face the horns, and it's the same way with dogs or whatever, they want you to run. Have you ever seen a mule deer turn and face a mountain lion? it changes everything. The mountain lion is like, this is not what I want. The mountain lion doesn't want to get hurt. Neither does Satan. Neither does our adversary. He wants you to turn and run. If you are surrounded with a bunch of sheep, they're going to flee. And you know what your impulse is going to be?
Go with them.
Probably you'd be flee also. But this is where we stand. And Yahweh's going to, we're going to look at some examples of standing. And you, the wildebeest doesn't have to be smarter than a hunting dog. He just turns and go, you and I, let's do this. And you know what happened? Eventually the hunting dog's going to get really hungry. He's going to leave. And that is not the flee that we're going to look at the Greek word. The flee that happens to the adversary, we'll get into it. It looks like it reminds me of a hyena messing with a cub. And the lion cub goes, my dad's coming back in a second. All I got, what happens once the lion shows up? The hyena's gone. That's what our adversary will do if you resist, rebel against him. Don't run. Although everybody else runs, going, I'm not going anywhere. And you could dig in and say, if I'm going to die, you're dying too. We're going out. We're going to turn and face it and fight it. And so I'll start the reading. Can you imagine the adversary, the slander who confronted Yahushua, who tricked Eve into death? Remember, Eve had wisdom like Solomon. This formidable monster in the book of Revelation, who has a beast and a false prophet, imagine him fleeing you like a child for safety. Who are we talking about fleeing? How can even the newborn babe in Christ, to make the most formidable adversary flee? Range yourself under Yahweh. Submit. Stay. Stay in Eden, no matter what's being threatened. Obey His word. Matthew 7:24 says, if you do the word, you are built upon the rock. In 2 Kings 19:14, if you don't know the scriptures, it says the wise man builds his house upon the rock. That is, if you do the word. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Both of them are going to have storms. What's going to happen with the storms? They say relationships are like that too. The ones that are on sand, they'll be gone. You'll get to see who your real friends are when you get arrested. You get grounded. When you get kicked off the football team. When you're no longer a football player, you're no longer a hero. That was hard for me. I was no longer a celebrity. You can see, in 2 Kings 19:14, Hezekiah had just witnessed Israel being washed away. Like the warning in Matthew 7:24. In 2 Kings 19, let's see here. In 17:32, 35, and 41, Israel had replaced the rock foundation of Yahweh's word by doing it for sand. They were washed away in 18:4. Hezekiah began to fix the foundation, his foundation, replacing the sand from the itching ears of 2 Timothy 4:3-4, which warns us. Why did Israel get washed away? Their itching ears, their lust, their pleasures. He saw them get washed away, and Hezekiah rebuilt the foundation. Did this make him popular with his people? It was probably just the opposite when you get rid of their idols. Call out Democrats right now. If you say Democrats, people are like, don't say Democrat. They really don't like that. Just because he did this, he could... But because Hezekiah, which is right here, because he did this, he could do what James 4:7, range or resist. And resist by doing Yahweh's word, and the adversary would flee. And what happens with Hezekiah? It looks really bad. And the same guy who carried away Israel surrounds them. They're starving to death. And what does he say? He tells Hezekiah, Yahweh had already had us wash away. These guys now are coming for you, and it's your fault because you got rid of Yahweh's high places. You did this, and what is he doing? He's speaking in Hebrew. Why? To get people to bring sin back in. Because once they get sin back in, guess what they're no longer on? They're no longer on the rock. And it's the wildebeest getting to run. What does Hezekiah do? It's actually Hezekiyahu. He goes to the prophet first, and then he takes the threats to Yahweh's altar, and he goes back to Yahweh and says, I am doing your word. I have done this, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. And what's gonna, then after all that, Yahweh comes to him and says, not an arrow will be shot. But it was only after he did this. So remember that when you're under attack, when it looks like you're getting ready to lose everything, you get down on your knees and go, I'm not running. And if there is sin in your life, Hezekiah got rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my friendship. Maybe you could have a friendship. I used to have friendships built on sand. And when I would hear this, I was like, I'm going to lose those friends as soon as something bad happens. So I try to interject a word. And guess what? I got to keep some of them for a little bit. Start putting word in there and removing the sand. So that's where I have Hezekiah right here. And then I photoshopped the devil or the adversary fleeing from him. James 4:4 tells us. Oh, okay. So many Christians are familiar with James 4:4 and the verse, but are they willing to do what it requires? James 4:4 tells us how to be on the rock. And it specifically says, you can look at it right before it says, if you are friends with the world, it is enmity with Yahweh. Enmity. If you have fornicators, adulterers, whatever, it is enmity, and we'll show you what the word enmity means. And it's close to enemy. Enmity with Yahweh. That's a Greek word, 2190. That could be hated. You are hated of Yahweh. Odious. Hateful. In Hebrews 12, and if you guys are there, you can look in verse chapter 12, 16 and 17. What are these people of the world that Yahweh's saying, if you have friends with them, you're not going to be on the rock and Satan's not going to flee you. In fact, he has keys to your house. If you have pornography in your house with your cell phones or whatever, he's got keys. He's in there. You're not fleeing anywhere. You have given him authority. But Yahweh said, get rid of it. Repent. But in this case, would somebody read chapter 16 and 17 of Hebrews 12?
Verse 16 and
17? Yeah. Chapter 12,
16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for the sake of one meal yielded up his own firstborn rights. For ye know that afterwards, when he even wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For place of repentance found he none, even though with tears he diligently sought it.
Did he cry? Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen somebody who's busted sinning, but they're not going to repent? How about a homosexual? I've met fornicators, guys who are adulterers, or extortioners with court-ordered child support. I can't stop. How does Yahweh feel about them? What does he say about Esau? He hates Esau. There's a lot of fornicators and people that will, oh, you don't know what happened to me. I did this with somebody, and I said, you can't have any friends with a homosexual or a fornicator. Well, you don't know what happened to him. I said, that is an Esau. Do you know what Yahweh says about Esau's? You might care about them, but you better read about the adversary. There's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's as a roaring lion seeking. And if you think you're lion-proof, good luck. Because Yahweh's not mocked. That which you sow, you will reap. It says that in Galatians 6, 7. And it also says, but we'll go back to here's Esau. Here's people that, but what did Esau? He would not stop. He would not repent. I have sinned over and over again and messed up over and over again. And I'll go to a teaching, no matter how many teachings I go to, also I start getting sick to my stomach because there's something I wasn't dealing with. Deal with it! Get rid of it! You don't have to learn a lesson like Joshua with Achan. 26 people died. And going to go, holy moly. Yahweh goes, you're not with me. There, holy I am. There is no... There's a guy that I met and he confided with me and he said that he had a real problem with other women. He's married. And he says it's really not his fault. His dad was like that and he's always been this way. And when he got married to his wife, she knew this. And he was complaining to me that his wife was like, it's me or them. And he couldn't believe it. What am I supposed to do? Does that sound ridiculous?
It does, yeah.
That is us when we say we have friends with the world. If we are warning them, saying, judgment is coming, don't worry about me. You better worry about reaping the consequences. And if they repent, wonderful. If they don't repent, you got to say, I have nothing to do with Esau's. If you have friends like Esau, 1 Corinthians 5:9-18, it says, you do not have the ability to make your adversary flee if you have friends like Esau's. Fornicators, adulterers, the Democrat Party. They do all that stuff. What happens if Vegas stays? Yahweh warns you, you cannot do both. You can't do both. You might say you are ranging yourself from the adversary, but you have deceived yourself. The adversary of the book of Revelation, who completely deceived Eve, who was as smart as Solomon, who is wise like Solomon, is not going to flee you. And your house is, and the house that is built on sand is slowly falling through the hourglass right now. Like Matthew 7:24 says. What did the adversary try to do against Hezekiah? Hezekiahu. And this is what he'll try to do against us if we are on the rock. So he'll try to scare you away.
Fear.
Why? Because he's untouchable on the rock. And what's beautiful about Hezekiah is, where is Jerusalem? It's on top of a rock. Isn't that neat? It's on top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Sea level is going to be the Mediterranean, right? Mm-hmm. Jerusalem's almost 3,000 feet up. So it is a steep incline. They're on top of a rock. But Hezekiah, so what Sennacherib's going to do, the Syrians, is going to try to scare him off. So the adversary's going to try to get him off the rock, which is the word. He brought up the high places and the images that Hezekiah brought down. And who did he bring it up to? Everybody on the wall. Do you think there's some people on the wall that wanted to keep some of that stuff? Yeah. Can you imagine converting a bunch of Catholic churches to get rid of stop praying to Mary? Do they want Mary back? Are there vices that you want? I just need somebody to justify what I want. That's me. Be leery of somebody who tells you what you want to hear. Why did the adversary try to scare Hezekiah off the rock? Because if the serpent, the dragon, could get them to bring fellowship with the world, James 4:4, Yahweh would abhor them. He would abhor them, and no longer would they be protected. Once you bring that stuff in, the adversary says, flee, 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 like a dog who wants to chase something in order to exhaust them, to devour them. And especially in your guys' houses with little kids like Ruth. I used to think about that even when I had my son Caden when he was 4 years old, and somebody was tempting me with pictures, sending me pictures of half-naked girls or something. Yahweh went, will you invite demons in this house to crawl in that four-year-old? Are you the one that's going to bring the demons in? Mm-hmm. That a four-year-old has to wrestle with that? Do you know that's how children get that stuff? And I sat there and I will not have it. It was wonderful having a little kid in the house. So having a little girl in your house is one of the best things that can happen to you. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Let's see here. The African hunting dog stands no chance at taking down the wildebeest. The animal is too strong, so the dog who is smarter gets him to run. To run from something they don't need to run from. Why? The dog doesn't have more strength, but is incredible endurance. It chases the wildebeest maybe for an hour until it's exhausted. Now it can't fight back, and the dogs devour the animal who never should have run. In Matthew 4:1-11, so here's the adversary trying to get Hezekiah to not range himself. And in Matthew 4, he's going to go to Yehoshua. How smart and how powerful is the adversary? Do you think you'd have any chance of tricking Jesus Christ?
No.
The adversary did. Can you imagine Hillary Clinton being 1,000 years old? How smart would she be? Man, that would be an enemy I wouldn't want to mess with. And here's the adversary. We don't know how old he is. But he tried to do the same thing to Yehoshua. The adversary tried to tempt Yehoshua with wrongly dividing scriptures. And remember, he did that with Eve too. Wrongly dividing the scriptures. He's a God of love. God is love. He's the God of love. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. And you're going to go, he hated Esau, fornicator. What fellowship does light have with darkness? And what did Yehoshua do? Yehoshua had gone 40 days without food. Yehoshua went back to the scriptures. I'm not moving anywhere. He was a wildebeest going, we're not going anywhere. You ever seen that with water buffalo or something doing a circle? We don't run. And Genesis 3, he did this also to Eve with the scriptures, questioning Yahweh's intentions with the scriptures. Here's his intentions. Once Eve left doing the word for pleasure, what is it? The adversary no longer had to flee. Adam, who saw his wife leave the foundation of the word, now had to decide, friend of the world or fellowship with Yahweh? Esau or Yahweh? What did Adam do?
Eve.
He chose Eve. He didn't have to. And what if Adam said no? What if he just resisted? I'm not doing anything. Can you imagine what Eve would have been saying? I'm dying! I'm drowning! You gotta come! You ever had that? When we were in college, whenever a girl wanted to get an ex-boyfriend's attention, they would threaten suicide. She took too many pills. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Girls do that. And guys could do the same thing. You gotta come right now. A bleeding fawn. You ever heard of a bleeding fawn with deer hunting? And here it is. Whatever it was with Adam, Adam's a lot smarter than any of us. He caved. He caved, and what happened? The adversary did not flee. Once he left a rock, both would suffer. Both would suffer the loss of their home when the floods came, like Matthew 7:24 said. How sad at Abel's funeral that they must have been. Why did we flee Yahweh when the serpent would have been forced to flee us? Our son is dead. They lost two sons, not just one. Like an air-breathing animal swimming underwater, eventually it has to flee for air. So will our adversary flee if we obey and choose Yahweh over man's companionship. Adam and Eve, now both were prey. Now we are prey our whole life, but we don't have to do the same thing. How did the adversary finally get David to leave the rock of the word? A woman who was exceedingly beautiful. So be ready for that. We're talking about people that are demonized. Sometimes you can see darkness. There are some things where there's like especially demons. David looks like an angel of light. They look wonderful. They're so polite. There's still something not right. It's discernment of spirits. And David, now it didn't say Bathsheba was demonized, but what the adversary was there. And what happened? Uriah dies, other people die, a baby dies, horrible things happen. Why? Because he left the rock. He started running, and children died. How did Solomon, who Yahweh appeared to twice, leave the rock? Or why did he leave the rock? It was the love of foreign women. Compromise. And that's me. I'm lonely. I would love to have a wife. But will you compromise the word because you're that lonely? We'll see. How did Samson, such a lonely leader, how was he reduced to a crust of bread? Proverbs says that a man, think you're so tough? Satan doesn't hunt men with muscles. He sends in a 104-pound cheerleader. He hunts you with like a 308. A deer could kill you like that, but that's not how you hunt a deer. You're not intimidated by a deer's strength. That's a trophy. And that's what he did with Samson. Samson was reduced to a crust of bread because he was lonely. And you think about that. Are you lonely? And Yahweh did that with me because I've been lonely. And he said, Yahweh told me, I'm going to digress for just a second. He said, Aaron, have you ever been that lonely? Samson had nobody. Nobody. We at least got six people in here. He had nobody. No family members. His family wasn't there. They're only out there at the beginning and then to carry his body away. Israel wouldn't get behind him like Judah or like Gideon. But what if Samson said, Yahweh, you gave me water so I didn't die after I slayed the sons of Philistines. I'm so tempted right now because I'm so lonely. Give me a woman. What if? Well, that's hindsight for us, right? Yeah. But we can go, give me a woman. Give me a companion. I'm this close to fleeing. I'm this close to running. I'm this close. Please help me. And talk to him and let him know and speak. Work on your relationship. Say, I'm this close to start running. Give me strength. Or give me something worth rebelling against the adversary. And I'll pray sometimes saying, give me your bait. Give me something that's shining from you that gets me to get completely distracted away from the other stuff. Who had a better heart than David? Who was wiser than Solomon or Eve? Who was stronger than Samson? And who was more perfect than Adam? These are our examples of what happens when you leave the Word. The adversary does not have to arrange himself like in James 4:4. When we leave the Word, by stop doing the Word, we leave the fortress of Yahweh. Had they resisted, all those resisted and ranged themselves and rebelled against the adversary, rebelled against pleasures, and just procrastinated. You ever procrastinated homework? Okay, good, you know how to do it. Procrastinate sin. You're probably pretty good at procrastinating as a teenager. Good, you know how to do it. Do that with sin. Procrastinate, use that. And they would have procrastinated. The adversary would have been forced to flee. Like a sea lion trying to scare a fish from hiding in a hole. If the fish resists the sea lion, the seal or the sea lion will have to flee for air. Don't leave your hole. Don't leave your cave. Eventually, you ever seen something that runs out of air? Have you ever held your breath? How do you go up? And that's our adversary. You're like, I can do this all day, man. Resist. The adversary would have sought safety if Adam, David, Samson, and Solomon would have stayed on the Word. They would have been like a fish safe inside of a rock cave, patiently waiting for the seal to run out of air. Yehoshua, or Jesus, did not take the bait. Here in Matthew 4:6, what happened to the adversary? He fled. Like James 4:4. Yehoshua chose Yahweh's fellowship, which gave Yahweh's protection, like a lion cub that had a hyena trying to scare it away from protection of the Lion King. If loved ones refuse to repent, like Esau, lock the door. Scripture says in Matthew 18, if somebody's in sin, give them a chance. Hey, I got to talk to you about something. And if they don't correct it, you're supposed to do it. Two or three people. That is giving them the benefit of the doubt. Well, they know what they're doing. The scriptures didn't say that give them the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're doing. Give them a chance. You know how many times I was stuck in a sin and I wanted somebody to confront me? Why? I was too weak to get out of it. I'm ashamed of it. But I was too weak to get out of it. Have you ever been in a friendship you shouldn't have had? And you're like, I need out of it. And sometimes it will help if somebody goes, do you need help with this? But if they refuse to repent, they are like Esau. We lock the door. And later on, I forgot to write the scripture down. It says by doing that, they see the example and they see the lighthouse. The lighthouse is what? Yahweh's light. And the light is on, but we got to shine it. In 2 Corinthians 5, if you begin to feel sorry for them and begin to be tempted, remind yourself of what will happen to your house once you leave the Garden of Eden of the Word. Why did Adam choose to leave Eve? Friendship with the world. Why did David choose to leave Eden? Friendship with the world. Samson, Solomon, friendship with the world. And a lot of that was fornication. I go, man, fornication, like Esau. Stay in Eden. Like Hezekiah, put your worries at Yahweh's altar. Resist the adversary. Ask yourself, what would have happened if Adam chose to resist leaving the foundation? What would have happened? Was Adam perfect? Could he have possibly died for Eve's sins and been resurrected? Well, we have no idea. But golly, the African hunting dog is smarter than the wildebeest, so is your adversary smarter than you and me. He completely deceived Eve, who had perfect intellect and was in Yahweh's image. The wildebeest does not have to argue with intelligence with the dog. Just don't run. Stand on the Word, and eventually the hunting dog who is hunting you will flee because you starved him out. And so now we'll look at the actual scriptures. So in James chapter 4:7, if you read the context, and I didn't know this. I never saw the content. I had this broken down before. So somebody would read 4 through 10.
I'll read 4 through 10?
Yeah.
adulterous, mm-hmm. adulterous, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy to God?
Enmity.
Whosoever therefore is minded to be a friend in the world, an enemy of God, doth constitute himself. Or think.
Does that sound like unconditional love?
No.
Mm-hmm. Casting Crowns said Jesus was a friend of sinners. No. What does Yahweh say about that? You, Casting Crowns, are an enemy of Jesus Christ. You are an enemy of His Father. I don't care what you say. These are the Scriptures. They're unrepentant. Go ahead.
All right. Number 5. Or think ye that in vain the Scripture speaketh? Is it for in vain that the Spirit which hath taken an abode within us doth crave? Howbeit He giveth greater favor. Wherefore it saith, God against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Range yourselves therefore unto God, but withstand the adversary, and he will flee from you. Draw near unto God, and he will near unto you. Cleanse hands, sinners. Chasten hearts, double souls. Be miserable and lament and weep. Let your laughter into lamentation be turned, and your joy into dejection. Be made low in presence of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
And so Yahweh's warning, and so it says in Peter, the adversary is as, it didn't say he is a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. See, you're being hunted. Whose fault is that? Adam and Eve's. You were born into this war. But he's explaining these things, and he goes, see, draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Okay?
Let's be the magnet.
The word flee. The adversary will flee. And let me know if I need to zoom in. Can you guys read that or see that?
Yeah.
It's fuego. You see that? Okay, I don't know. Let's see if I can. Can you see the fuego pronunciation?
No.
Oh, you can't see it?
Yeah. I can.
You can? Oh, they just can't read it? Isaiah, what you read just was underlined in red.
Yeah. To run away, to escape, flee.
To escape or flee. That's what you can make the dragon, the serpent do. It's fuego. He will flee you. Not just leave, but he will flee. This is a common scripture, but how do you make him flee? We're going to go backwards. Can you see at the very top? Maybe I'll... This might be easier. How do you make the adversary flee? Well, you got to go back to above. Here's the blue letter Bible. Up here, a friend of the world is the what?
Enemy
of God. Remember, Pastor Mark Hoover says he had homosexual friends on stage. You know what it says in James? Don't desire to be a teacher because a greater judgment you are going to go through. What does it say right here? Mark Hoover. You're an enemy of Yahweh in that area of your life. An enemy. It didn't say he's upset with you. That is an enemy if you're a friend with him. But then we'll look at the... So Satan is not going to run from you. You have friends in the world, he moves in. A friend of evil is an enemy of Yahweh. And if you do have friends, what you do is, in love, you write them, I was not aware of this. Here this thing is, I'm a believer, I can't have anything to do with this. And I got to help somebody recently that was he was a homosexual. He chose homosexual. Of course, anybody who's stuck in a wicked sin, are they a victim? Of course.
Oh, yeah.
They have to have a reason to justify it. Somebody else's fault. And I said, you got to help them. Blah, blah, blah. This is the way they are. What about their judgment? Do you talk about them meeting Jesus Christ? And the people I was talking to, they believe they're going to go to hell. And so you say you love this person, and you're not going to talk to them about going to hell? Talk to them about the future. Give them a chance. What we could do is, we don't know when Christ is coming back. Hey, I have a friendship with you. I had this and this and that. I did that with TJ Thomas. And here's the scriptures. I was like this too. I had friends just like this. I can't do it anymore. I've changed. And if you want help, here's a hand. And he said, thank you, but no thanks. But at least he read it. Yeah, but actually, T.J. Thomas was the only person who ever read the paper. And so, enmity, so this is the word that is not common for me. So, the word enmity, I don't know if you can read this down here, is the Greek word, Strong's number 2190, but it is hatred. So, do you still have James open?
Yes.
Would you read where it says, go ahead, read where it says the enmity.
Enmity. 4:4:4
Adulterous, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity to God?
Yes, yeah, enmity. And so, enmity, let's see here. So, that friendship is hatred. Hatred. Wow! This is the God that you're going to go to if your family gets cancer. This is the God you're going to go to if your family's choking on a bone and they're dying. You want him to hate you? Or do you want him to be ready to help you? We don't know when somebody's going to get in a car accident. Dad and I, we just had a friend who just died flying his own aircraft. He was supposed to go with us to this fundraiser. He's dead. Gone. That's the God you want to go to? Do you want him to be hating your relationship? And you're like, no, I don't. And this is James 4 is helping us clean things out. A little leaven, a little bit of yeast destroys everything. A little bit of sin. And then enmity, the enemy, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of Yahweh. This word, you'd see, I guess you see, you are hated, odious, hateful, hostile, hating, opposed. This is not the Democratic Party who's going to hate you and call you homophobic. This is your Creator and His Son, your judge. And when are you going to meet Him? 1 Corinthians 15:52, any second, not when you die. He's coming back. It could be when you die. This is how he feels about those friendships. Opposing in mind, a man that is hostile, a certain enemy, the hostile one, the devil who's the most bitter enemy, and this is from the Greek word, the Strong's the same word. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 13 is going to say, don't even eat bread with a fornicator, a drunkard, or an idolater. Why? For many reasons. You won't have any fellowship with Yahweh, but with our context, the adversary is not going to flee you and your house. He's going to outweigh. Do you think that the wildebeest has a thought that by running they're going to die? Or do you think that the wildebeest thinks they're going to preserve their life?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just too fast for me, wildebeest. We can't keep up. A dog can run a whole day. Wolves can do the same thing. And how many people? You're going to go, okay, how many churches have their own idols? They're going to go, he's not mine. But 1 Corinthians 15 ranks, so it shows how to range yourself from the adversary to flee. And you warn people to say, the adversary has keys to your house and to your children's bedroom. That should freak us out. 1 Kings chapter 12, 7 through 8. Oh, okay, sorry. I got a little caught off guard. And this is me. So, I'm a work in progress. Up until I was about 19 years old, I was a rebel. I liked to rebel. And for some reason, I was good at it. I mean, it was really good if you're with football. Your dad's like that, too. I'm not afraid of getting hurt. I could strap, I could fist fight, I could go take something. And in football, I got to actually use those things. And the problem was, I didn't know that the adversary was hunting me. And slowly, your friendships, you're slowly cooking and cooking and cooking, your standards are going down. You think you're converting Satan. He goes, oh, you almost got me. 6 more months and you'll get me. You'll convict me. And be leery of that. Satan will have people in your life who say, man, you almost convinced me. Can we go get another beer? Or whatever it is. But in 1 Kings chapter 12, this is Rehoboam. And you want to... I just listened to 1 Kings and Solomon. Did he start off good? How evil did this guy end? Because Yahweh sends a prophet and says, I'm not going to tear away from you, but I'm going to tear away from your kids. Israel, would you rather have it torn away from you or torn away from one of your sons? Do it to me, not my kid. And what did Solomon do? He didn't repent. He should have fell upon his knees like David, going, don't let the kid die. Not my son Rehoboam. But what happened to Solomon? Why? How? The love of foreign women. A woman. And it could be a man or whatever. But Solomon got so bad, he's going to let his kid. But what does Yahweh do to Rehoboam? Yahweh gives him a chance. And they go to him, they go, look. And they spoke to Rehoboam, and they say, and this is where I think it got Rehoboam. Be a servant to your people. Be nice to them, and they'll serve you forever. Didn't know that until recently. Would Obama like being asked to be a servant?
No.
No. Rehoboam didn't want to hear that. So what did he do? He went to somebody else, and hey, this guy's the new king. We know what he wants to hear. He doesn't want to be a servant. He's a country club kid. And they go, tell him, you know, get him with scorpions. But what happened to Rehoboam? He left the rock. He didn't have to suffer those consequences. And what happened to Rehoboam? 10 tribes. And it was really the beginning of the slow end of Judah. Why? He left the rock. And the adversary. Here's the adversary, slow cooking. Hezekiah obeyed the scriptures. He was built upon the rock. And all you got to do is procrastinate. And if people threaten to leave you, that's it, Isaiah, Elijah. If you love me, you'll do this. Be ready for that. Melania, you say you're my friend. Now you're being so judgmental. You're judging everybody. Throwing words out. And what they're going to do is, you're the problem, not me. And Yahweh goes, procrastinate. Procrastinate. Okay, let them go. If they go, go. But what will happen is, when the storms come, your house you'll be able to sleep at night. And when the storm's over, you'll still have your house. And so here's a house that's on the rock and a house on the sand. All of us have had both. You'll have friendships on the sand. And once you stop getting drunk, once you stop cussing filthy things, and that lifestyle gets out of those friendships, you have nothing in common anymore. Most of my youthful life, up until my mid-20s, I had convinced myself it was my obligation to convert these people. I'm going to convert these people. I was lying to myself. They didn't want anything to do with it. They would tolerate the word as long as I'd bow down at the altars of pleasure. And what happened to all those relationships? They slowly washed away. And what Yahweh tells us is that if you have something you don't want to lose, make an attempt to start putting rocks underneath it so you can arrange yourself. Why? You know, look at this picture. This is a wildebeest running. Where's it jumping into?
Water.
What's in the water?
Alligators.
Crocodiles waiting. Here to go. If there's a good picture of wildebeest. You know the Nile crocodile? They'll have a Nile crocodile that they'll eat once a year. They eat enough with the migration of the wildebeest. They only have to eat one time a year. Didn't that remind you of like a wicked Democrat? I don't have to work the whole year. We're going to eat so much of these suckers. But the thing is, the wildebeest started running, and at least with this teaching, it didn't say they're running from a dog on here, but they're running. Don't flee Eden. Resist. Range yourself. By having, the context is having no fellowship with Esau's. Warn Esau's. Esau! That which you sow, you will reap. Do you think you're going to be wearing women's underwear when you go before Jesus Christ? Really? Okay, don't ever call me again. If the answer was yes. If they reject you, good. And you go, is that what you're going to tell Jesus Christ? I had that with a pastor once. And he started attacking me. Because I showed him a scripture that says, Jesus has a God. What did he do? He attacked me. Like he was going to kill me, assault me. I go, do the scriptures offend you? He goes, you don't do that. He started doing this and this and that. I go, these scriptures said, did you see this? We go through the scriptures. We went through the scriptures. He tolerated, then he attacked me. And I went, What are you going to tell Jesus Christ about this moment? Now, I understand, I told him, I understand that if you do what the Word says and you stop saying words that are not in here, like the word Trinity, not in the book, God the Son, not in the book, not once. God the Holy Spirit, not in the book. Triune, not in the book. Unconditional love, not in the book. I said, I understand that if you stop saying those words, you will be judged by your congregation. And you'll probably lose a lot of them. I understand it. And he looked at me like you get... But I said, are you more worried about them judging you or when you go before Jesus Christ? What did you do with the word? And in his case, I got to sow a seed. He's done with me. He's never going to see me again. But hey, I did my job. And you never know. Maybe somebody will turn. And if anything, stop teaching the word. Are you kidding me? Well, I never wanted to teach the word when I saw that. Great. Do you want to be judged before Jesus Christ? Well, I want to see all the good things, but there's going to be some tough stuff. I don't want it more difficult. That's like an AP class. That's like your parents go, we signed you up for Harvard. No, man, I want to go to JUCO. Arrange yourself so the whole context is fellowship with the world. Don't have fellowship. But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us get set free and that we can resist and that when others don't see us running, maybe some of those will stay, like children, like neighbors, so that the dogs won't devour them. We thank you that whatever we do, help us be obedient to stand upon your word. And although we lose everything, if we have you, that's all we need. You are the source of all wealth. We don't need money when we can have the God of wealth. We don't need relationships and people when we can have the God who gave his only son his fellowship. We don't need houses. We don't need a country when we have you, the owner of all the universes. And we know that you will reward us. And whatever, nothing can be taken that you can't replace a hundredfold. Let us focus upon you and the resurrection and what we owe you. Now, Father, we thank you that as we do so, you will bless us and you will make us a city shining upon the hill. Amen.
Amen.